Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Yes? Of course you know what time it is. It's FSP time. Mr. Vic Gardner is not in the house. It's JT, a.k.a. the Master. I am in the house, filling in for Mr. Gardner. As always, I welcome to the show. Welcome to the ones that are listening to the show. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy day, especially in a lot of places. It's a wonderful, bright spring weekend on a Saturday. A lot of things that you could be doing other than listening to me on whatever device that you're listening to. And it's well appreciated, trust me. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you like to talk to me. I appreciate it. Like I said, I really appreciate you calling in here. Not calling in, but listening. As the weather gets better, I understand it's going to be harder and harder for you people to tune in, because you'll be distracted and doing other good things, which is no problem. I understand that. This show is going to be an hour again. As in, just like everybody else, I have other obligations I need to take care of, and it's going to be an hour, but hopefully it's going to be a quality hour that you'll be you like to listen to whatever I have to say, and whatever way I have to say it. We're going to be talking about some of the things I've been talking about for the last couple of days, which one of the things that are controversial. And I don't know how much controversy it is, but we're talking about the Rutgers coach and that whole big fiasco that's going on with Rutgers. And also, we're going to be talking about things that are happening in college basketball, quite naturally. College basketball for this season is winding down. We're down to a few teams. I want to talk about the Final Four teams that are going to be playing this weekend. I will be talking about, because by tomorrow morning when the Master Plan which is my program at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, same place, same bat channel, I'll be talking about the final two teams and the game that's going to take place, the championship college game that's going to take place on Monday. That's one of the things I'll be talking about. And also, I want to talk about the we had a big discussion yesterday. If you didn't listen to the No Chaser show, that's on 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday night. And Mac Williams is the host. I happen to be the co-host of that. So you hear my lovely voice on Thursday with the FSP Crew show at 8 p.m. You hear my lovely voice again on Friday, 7 p.m. And then you hear my voice, quite naturally, you're hearing it again at 1 p.m. today. And tomorrow you'll hear it at 10 a.m. So the common theme of all four of these programs is who you listening to right now, me. I'm not blowing my own horn, but I'm just saying I'm involved in all these four programs, either as a co-host or filling in as a host, or as the host with co-host jumping in on Thursday. And every now and then I have a guest caller call in on Sunday. So if you like the way I talk, I really appreciate it. Listen to all the programs, because I just named them, 8 p.m. on Thursday, 7 p.m. on Friday, 1 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday. They're all Eastern Standard Time. So judge, do your thing in order to listen to it accordingly, depending on if you listen across the country or overseas or whatever. And you like the programs, whatever one you like. There are different times each day, and maybe you can find a niche that you like and you listen to that. But I really appreciate you listening to whatever program that you happen to listen to. It's well appreciated, and I just want to tell you that I just want to tell you that before I start this program. Like I said, I gave you the number to call in, 347-637-3220. And also have a chat room available if you would like to use a chat room for that. So there's different avenues that you can use to listen. And not necessarily you don't have to listen to me. I mean, unfortunately or fortunately, excuse me, woo, I happen to be the common voice in all these programs. You may not like my voice, but you may like the subject matter. And if you have something to say, call in or use the chat room one way or the other. I mean, the chat room is for your convenience. If you rather not talk to me, you rather make your statement in the chat, fine. That's no, I don't have a problem with that. Don't have a problem with that at all. It's for your convenience. It's for what is best for you. So if that's what it takes to get you involved, is you get you in the chat room, no problem. More than welcome to have you in the chat room. So let's get started. Let me put it this way. Let's get started on what I have to say. All right? And I'll go down this road first. I covered this subject briefly a little bit on Thursday and Friday, but I still have things I want to say about this. One of the things I want to come about and say is that we'll do it this way. The NCAA tournament and the we're down to two games, which down to the all the much heralded and much talked about Final Four, and this has truly been March Madness. In the Final Four, there's only one number one seed still standing. You get two number fours and a number nine. The number nine happens to be Wichita State, tough, gritty team going up against number one Louisville, who, in my opinion, is probably be, even though it's, I wouldn't say even though, they're the number one seed in their bracket, which was the Midwest. And for all intents and purposes, they had a pretty easy time of it. The first round, they won by 31. The second round, they won by 26. The third round, they won by 8. Oregon kind of gave them a tough way to go. In the Elite Eight, excuse me, in the Elite Eight. Excuse me, in the Final Four. Let me put it this way. I'm sorry. It's not the Final Four. Yes, it is the Final Four right now. But in the Elite Eight, Duke and Louisville went up against each other, and you know what happened. The all thing about excuse me, Kevin Ware and what happened to him, and that was inspirational. Louisville went on to beat number seeded Duke in that bracket by over 20 points, 22 points. So they won handily. And then on the other side, you have Wichita State, which was the number 9 seed. They had a tougher road to hoe. They went from beating number 8 seed in their bracket, which was the West bracket. Handily, by over 20 points, or I should say 18 points. Then they go up against number 1, and this at the time, this was the number 1 school ranked in the country, which was Gonzaga. And they beat Gonzaga by 6 points. And then they went and they played number 13 LaSalle, who had previously in the first round beat number 4 Kansas State, and then turned around and beat Ole Miss, so who had beaten number 5 rated in this bracket, Wisconsin. So, and they beat him by a couple points, meaning LaSalle. So, and then Wichita State handled them handily in the Sweet 16 by 14 points. So, this game's going to be played, number 1 Louisville against number 9 Wichita State today, around 6 o'clock. It's the first game of the Final Four games, and it should be a pretty interesting game, being that number 9 Wichita State has proven itself over and over again from the beginning of this tournament up until this point, and number 1 Louisville has got an inspirational story with Kevin Ware, supposedly. And I shouldn't say supposedly, he'll be courtside cheering his team on, recuperating from his tragic injury. And I do have a caller on here, and I do think I do know who this is. And we'll bring him in and see what he has to say up until what I said up until this point. Welcome, Macau. How you doing, my man?
How you doing, sir?
Okay.
Where's your sidekick? You fighting the country?
Apparently he is.
Good, great. This is gonna be a wonderful show. Wonderful show. Great show. Great show. Yeah.
Well, let me put great it this show. Way. We talked about a few things yesterday,
yes.
on the show
yes.
last night. Okay.
Yes.
And it was part of what I wanted to talk about today, because I have a few more sound bites that I want to bring about, and I think you know who I'm talking about, a Hall of Fame basketball player and his son. and we got that laugh again, so you do know what I'm talking about. So,
yeah, I know what you're talking about, sir.
So, and I've got... Besides of what you heard yesterday, I want to play that again for the people who didn't hear it yesterday. I also have a couple more clips on how he feels about different subjects on the same matter. Not different subjects, but people and dealing with people who live an alternate lifestyle. So, but before we do that, I wanted to get your thoughts on Louisville versus Wichita State, 6 o'clock today.
I think it's going to be a good game. I can't wait to watch. I'm going to be pulling for Wichita State.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to be pulling for Wichita State. Yes, sir.
You type of guy like the underdog. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I kind of like the underdog, but while I feel bad for the young man and whatnot, you know, he don't deserve none of this. But neither does the NCAA. You know what I'm saying? Any chance I can get to stick it to, you know, the you know, big pocket corporations that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are non-profit, I'm going to do it. I think I like Wichita State. I really think they can they may be able to pull this out, you know.
Okay. I mean, it's going to be a tough road. I mean, hold on a minute here. I just dropped my phone. Louisville has a great set of upperclassmen guards that and pressure defense that no one's been able to deal with yet. And so far it's been holding true that whoever has the best guard play, especially if it's upperclassmen guard play,
mm-hmm.
is able to go pretty far in the tournament. And I think having a coach like Rick Pitino, whose tournament and championship ball tested.
Driven and tested.
Yes, yes. And he is probably, and I'm not discounting the Wichita State coach, but he's probably one of the best coaches, in my opinion, ever in college basketball, even though he's only won one championship, that he's got a great opportunity to get to the championship with an opportunity to win another championship. And his team is totally focused, and that they have now with the inspiration of playing for their fallen teammate couldn't say that even before that they didn't have a shot, but it's always seems like when a team has an extra something extra to root for, like a fallen teammate, a tragic injury, or some inspirational type of thing for a team to look at. It seems like most of the time they come through. It's been tried
yeah.
and true every time that a team has some type of inspiration, other than just playing the game. It's something outside the game. Say like. I can't believe I can't remember this guy's name that played for the Ravens. He lost his brother and he had inspiration to play and
yeah the wide receiver. Yeah,
exactly. So things
Torrey
like
Smith.
That.
Excuse me? Torrey Smith.
Yes, exactly. Things like that, and it always seems to happen. It always seems like it's a storybook ending, and it never seems like it's on the downside for the most part. Now, not to say it doesn't happen. But for the times you've seen people do things, and something inspirational is also behind it. They seem like they always come out on top. Seems like the whatever their inspiration for playing that much better, or taking their game to the next level, it happens and it makes them their team win, or if it's an individual thing, they produce a win out of it. So. If not for anything else, just because they have something that can inspire them, Wichita State I think is in for a rough go at it. But they still have to play the game, just like you said. They still have to play the game, and you
yep.
never know.
Nope, you never
you
know.
You never know. And the thing about it is this: they're the only number one seed left in this. Wichita State is a number nine. And on the other side, like we had talked about before, Michigan, which hadn't won one since 1999, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's what it was, because we had talked about it last Saturday. They're the number four seed against the number four seed Syracuse. So, and I don't know which game is going to be better, number one against number nine or these two number four teams, Big Ten against the Big East. Tell me or talk to me or what you think about Michigan and Syracuse, the late game.
Oh man, I'm gonna go with Michigan. I'm gonna go with Michigan. I think it's time for Michigan to go ahead and step up and get into that final game. Syracuse. Syracuse looked good. No discredit to them and their coach, but I'm gonna be pulling for Michigan. For them.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm torn with this game, and
mind you, my brackets is all just destroyed. You know, I just destroyed my brackets. My brackets just look disgusting.
Yeah, well,
not even one team, not even one of us team is in the final four.
Same here, my man. Same here. You know, and, you know what? When I stopped looking at my brackets, and this is a God's honest truth. I stopped looking at my brackets the second game of every game that was played. and that's the truth. Not the first game, which is the 64 teams playing. I stopped watching after the second set of teams were playing, the second set of games were playing. I said, you know, forget it. I don't want to see nothing else because my bracket was blown up way, just like that. I said, forget it. And I don't know if you had listened to any of the programs before the Final Four. Before the March Madness started. But I filled out two brackets, two separate brackets, two separate winners going to the Final Four for the most part, and one eventual winner. Each one of the brackets was different. I filled out my brackets, and this is a God's honest truth. The first game, I think, whatever game it was, started at 12 or 12:15 on Wednesday, whatever it was. I filled out my brackets with about a half hour before the first game started because I felt like this. You know what? It's so messed up, and I was saying this two weeks before. Anybody can eat anybody. The 16 seed can beat the 1 seed. It's not that much difference between the two, and it held true for some of these teams that the bottom part of the bracket beat the top half, the top part of the bracket. And I really say, you know, to me, in my opinion, this was a waste of time, and I really didn't want to fill out a bracket because the fact is, I know it's going to get in my feeling, I thought it was going to get blown up, and it held true to what I was thinking that I shouldn't even filled out my bracket because it got blown up early and often. So that was the reason why after the second set of games got played, I said, forget it. I'm not watching. I could care less now. somebody can tell me, or I can read on the internet or whatever, who's moving on to the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8. Now we're at the Final Four, but I didn't really, and this is God's honest truth. I didn't really watch any games past the second round. Past the second round, I didn't watch any games. I didn't care. I really didn't care before the game started because it was like, you have to take all these teams and throw them up in the air and say, okay, and pick out, I could have picked out Wichita State to win it. I could have picked out some other team that's in the lower seed to win it because I thought, in my opinion, that all these teams were so closely matched for the most part. That any one of these teams could have grabbed it and got on the hot streak and get where these four teams are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, and that's what I wanted to say about that. And what do I want to say now? Oh, this is what I want to talk about now. We had talked about the Mike Rice thing yesterday. And after we went off the air, I found out the day that the AD resigned or was let go or whatever you want to call it, the internal counsel or the counsel of I guess the lawyer that advised Pernetti to do what he did and signed off on what he did or whatever, did also resign. The same day, so now we got three of the pieces that were involved in this thing in Rutgers are no longer an employee of the Rutgers. And to tell you this also, I don't know, and I know I didn't tell you yesterday. all three of these guys were state employees.
They were what?
They're state employees because Rutgers is a state university. So they're state employees. You follow me?
They're state employees.
So that's why I think on Thursday I was commenting on state senators and assembly people commenting on this, including the governor, because Rutgers University is a state university, and all the employees, for the most part, are state employees. So, and that's including the president, who made an asinine ass of himself, and I saw it part of his press conference, him joking about not being able to get around the campus and having the campus police help him around, like he was making light of, for the most part, of what took place. This guy, from what I'm seeing, should have been gone the same time the AD was gone. And, you know, in the next week or so, you're going to see either he resign or he'll get fired. One or the other. I can't see him surviving this. I don't know how you feel about that, but I can't see him surviving this.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. The whole thing stinks to me. It really does. And I really hate to sound like one of these crazy conspiracy theorists or propagandists,
no?
man, but the joint just stinks, man. It just stinks. All of a sudden, this joint pop up, it's a big issue now. This thing went down last year, man.
Well, it went down last year, you know, and I think this is the reason why it came to light. In fact, I'm almost positive this is the reason why it came to light. It came to light because Eric Murdoch, who, like I mentioned before, was an assistant to the basketball program, specifically to the former basketball coach Mike Rice, and he wanted to do a basketball camp or a basketball clinic, something like that, and he asked permission from the coach, and the coach denied him permission. He went and anyway and went to the basketball camp and participated in it or whatever, and his contract was not renewed. And I listened to an interview about this, and he said they were saying his contract wasn't renewed, but in essence they fired him because employee insubordination, doing something that he was advised not to do, and he went and did it anyway. So I think on the premise of that, and I think he still has a lawsuit trying to recoup the money that he would have gotten, he made this video or this information public, took it public. And I think that's the reason why it came out now.
Oh, okay.
So that's why, I mean, I don't know if it, well, I mean, the timing is what it is, right behind the Kevin Ware catastrophe and injury, but it wasn't something that was planned. It was something that the circumstances warranted that it came out now because of what Eric Murdoch was trying to, I guess, get some type of financial consideration for I guess a wrongful termination or whatever. And since he couldn't, I guess he's pending on that. But to get back at Mike Rice and Rutgers, I think he decided to make this thing public. Or maybe he just got fed up. Because the wheels of motion, the wheels weren't rolling the right way, and he just decided, hey, you know what? You people are letting this, for lack of a better word, this shit keep going like this, and it's not right. And somebody's got to let the people know what the hell is going on here, and decided to show this to whoever, or let them know what was going on, and brought this about. I got to hand it to him. What took you so long? I would have once he got the three game suspension and $50,000 fine, I would have said, you know what, that's definitely not right, not from what he's been doing and what I've been seeing, and two faced. When the AD's in the building, he acts like an angel. When he's gone, he acts like a devil. I would have brought it out to light. In my opinion, I would have brought it out to light real quick. And just like Max said yesterday, I'm surprised them brothers didn't beat his ass when he put a hand on him or kicked him or threw a ball at him. I mean, there's no way. What kind of heart these guys have? That's all I got to say. What kind of heart do they have to have that they're going to let, and I'm going to say it, this white man do what they do to him? Come on, man. Come on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you, but it's like this, you know, it just depends on how it's spun, you know, a lot of times. You know, when you look at it, you just like, wow, you know, why are you doing that? But, you know, how many times have we watched a player playing a game lose his temper about something, and something that's probably, you know, anyone would probably do, and then the whole public would turn on the play, you know? So, I mean, it just depends on how it's spun, you know, because them youngins could have got in a whole bunch more trouble than he did, which was proven. You know, the only reason, you know, by, you know, listening to the story you just told, the only reason that he really got in trouble was because somebody else was better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but just imagine had one of the players just knocked out a coach. It wouldn't have been, you know, he was cussing him, he was yelling, throwing the basketball at him. It just been, oh, he went freewheel on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? Because from my understanding, I mean, P.J. Carlissimo's an ass. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't see any other incidents with freewheel, but we all know what that means now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole big thing. He got two meanings for his name. Spreewell, the rims and going Spreewell, and, you know, choking out a coach.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
You have to think now. PJ probably had that reputation when he was probably acted that way when he dealt with college players, and then he brought it to the pros, and. For whoever didn't put up with it, except for somebody that's from the hood, that you can't talk to him that way, you can't act that way with him. Don't take that type of coaching. That type of coaching doesn't sit well with him, and he reached the snap point, meaning Latrell Sprewell, and choked his coach out. And I think from then on, it took him a while to get this head coaching job again. He languished in assistant coaching jobs in the NBA for quite a while before he was able to get another job. And he had to come from another coach getting fired.
And another thing, too.
Excuse me?
The whole another thing, too, about that, if you notice, a whole generation of basketball players.
Yes.
Changed before he came back.
Yep. And that's the reason why when I was talking about it on Thursday, that and asking you guys how long before it takes for this guy, Mike Rice, to get another job, if he does get another job, it's going to be a long time before he gets one, if he ever gets one.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got to prove himself all over again. He's got to start from ground zero, and then some, because all the lowdown stuff that is on tape. It's not even hearsay. It's on tape. And he's got to be able to prove himself that. And I don't know how he's going to do it. I mean, he can say I'm changed, and all kind of documentation from anger management saying he's a changed person. But who the hell is going to take a shot and have to carry that baggage of him coming to their program? And I see him. Black said 5 years. I see it's longer than that. I say it's longer than that.
I don't know if it's going to be that long. You know, the attention span of the audience now is minute 0.5 seconds.
Yeah,
so,
man, but
I know it is video, but you know there's hundreds of videos that we've all seen from different folks, and you know we probably can't even remember half of them. We'll probably be like, oh yeah, what was that? I mean, just like when we was talking about the guy Torrey Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I didn't you know when you said it, once I blurted out Torrey Smith, I didn't remember his ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The first thing I remember did you ever see the video of him when the earthquake shook up Maryland over here?
No.
Yeah, did you see his video? Oh my God! It's the funniest thing you ever want to see in life, and he was so real with it. He was doing an interview on TV,
right?
And the earthquake hit in Maryland, and he was like talking. And then, like 2 seconds later, he just ran. He was gone. And it was
right?
So funny. Yeah, it was so funny because because when they're doing the interview, it's just a face shot. You don't
sure.
see his body, nothing.
Sure.
You just see his face, right?
Right.
And he kind of as soon as the earthquake hit, everything was shaking. He kind of looked left, and then he turned right and was gone. Out screen, gone, just gone. All you see was his head turn left. Head turn right and gone. Dreadlocks just gone. Just gone.
That's funny. That's funny. I wrote it down, so I got to look at it when I get off the air. See what you're talking about. That's a good story. I didn't know that. I really did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I mean, yeah. You have to think about things like that. I mean, let me put it this way. Anytime in the future, I don't care how far in the future that it's going to be that he's going to get another, that he may be up for another job.
Right.
It's going to be in the news, and what happened now is going to be replayed over and over again. And then whoever is in the process of hiring him is going to have to deal with that media frenzy that's going to take
mm-hmm.
place, regardless how long it's going to take, because they're going to bring up old stuff. They're going to bring up old that they
yeah, they're going to bring up old shit.
They're going to bring it up. So even though it may die down in the media 1 year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, could be 10
mm-hmm.
years from now, that tape is still on tape. So when that person decides to get into whatever avenue they're going to get into coaching again, that's going to come up again, because the age of information and people watch. Let me put it this way: you watch what you do because people are watching. Regardless, if you don't think they're watching, they're watching. Either a camera, phone, or whatever, but people are watching.
Oh, it's terrible now, man.
As soon as something happens, it goes viral. As something happens and it's newsworthy, it goes viral. So something like that is going to happen. It's going to go viral, and then you're going to start. It's going to rehash old news.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Everybody's looking for their. I'm maybe go off on a tangent, but the hell with it. This is the show, and I'm on it, and we're both on.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
And everybody, this is, and I've talked about this more than once. In more than one program and in personal conversations, that For over a period of years, now it's like, I guess it's a couple of decades now, or close to a couple of decades, that everybody's looking for their 15 minutes of fame. Everybody's looking for that one big sensational story. Everybody's looking to put a picture of somebody in an awkward position, and or in a bad position or a bad light to make a name for himself and to put money in their pocket on the back of somebody that unfortunately they were put in a bad position or in a bad position, a.k.a. Let me put it this way. Kim Kardashian's for one. I mean, come on, man. Come on. I'm getting off on a tangent here. Kim Kardashian is 15 minutes of fame, doing stupid, crazy stuff, making a video. I mean, what does she do? Paris Hilton, what does she do?
Paris Hilton don't have to do anything. You know, she's that last name, Hilton. You know what I'm saying? But Kim Kardashian is very fascinating and to me as a study in pop culture and understanding, you know, the psyche of mainstream and how to get popularity and how to get fame and stuff like that. I mean, there was a viral pic that was floating around, and I was debating on whether to put it up on my blog, Grown
right.
Soul and Real Talk. You can find that at facebook.com/grownsoul. But I was debating on whether to put the pic up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the pic had a picture of Ray J, right?
Right, right.
And behind Ray J, you know, it was Photoshop.
Right.
Behind Ray J was the entire Kardashian family, right?
Okay.
And with a caption that said, you know, I made this entire family famous with my D.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I've seen that. I have seen that picture.
You saw that joint? I was cracking up laughing.
Yes, I have seen that picture. And you know what? He's right. Because
mm-hmm.
the fact is, who the hell was Kim Kardashian before she made a sex tape?
But
let me put it this way. I can't remember the time frame, but I don't know if it was before or if it was after that Paris Hilton made a sex tape. Then you have all these other ones.
Paris Hilton did hers first.
Okay.
Paris Hilton, it was kind of the leader of all of that pack, that whole pack.
And then
to top it all off, I mean, that sex tape, Slim, that joint was weak. That joint was whack. Whack. The joint was whack. I watched that joint. I was mad I watched that joint. It's like, the joint ain't nothing.
Well, let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this, and we're getting off, but that's okay. Who was the, and I can't believe I can't remember her name, blonde, she built like a brick shit house, married to a hard rocker. What the heck was her name?
Oh, I know you're talking. You're talking about Pamela Anderson. Pamela and Tommy. Yeah, they were the very first to really make that popular. But
exactly.
Paris was definitely before
Kim
that little girl Kim. Yeah, she was before her because Paris, you know, she had no talent. You know, Paris didn't, you know, she couldn't act.
Right.
She
right.
couldn't sing. She
right.
so she definitely couldn't rap. But
right.
what she was doing, which was some of the things, and part of what she did too was kind of mimicked by Jay-Z, but he did it in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
What Paris started doing was just showing up to parties and stuff. Just showing
mm-hmm.
up to parties. Right after
mm-hmm.
right after that sex tape, I mean, she was everywhere. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? You know, and if you want to get her to show up to your party, you know, you're gonna give her some cash.
Right.
You was going to give up some cash.
Well,
you know?
And that was the point. That's the point I'm making. Because when these women came out, the first few women that came out with these sex tapes, then it was a big, I wouldn't say big, but there was a rush on a lot of women coming out with different sex tapes, trying to make a name for myself. And the one I can speak of, and Lawrence Fishburne's daughter came out with a sex tape. And the reason she said she came out, because she wanted to, loved Kim Kardashian. She wanted to be able to follow the footsteps of Kim Kardashian. I saw a quote.
Yeah, but have you seen her, Young? She looked just like that dude, man. Nah, Young.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, her competition in that realm. I mean, she going up against Superhead. I mean, look, Slim, I'm going to tell you right now, the best sex tape I ever seen in my life was Superhead. I swear, if you ain't never seen it, look, I'm telling you, it's a life changer. No doubt.
I hear you. Well, we got another caller in here. I have no idea who the person is. Could be male or female. We'll bring this caller in and see who we got. Caller from the 253, welcome to the FSP show. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
Well, you know, it's me. It's me. It's Mr. FSP back in the place to be welcome to
my show.
I want to know what tape we're talking about because I caught the tail end of this.
We're talking about how these young ladies, and for most part, they are young ladies, even though there's been some guys in them, but for the most part, it's been young ladies that got their, I wouldn't say big break, but made themselves famous through sex tapes.
Okay, like Paris Hilton, I heard Kim Kardashian, and some other folks, yeah.
And since we jumped in here, I want to get your opinion on Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton, Pamela Anderson, and talk to me. Victor, how do you feel about this, Mr. Conservative?
I'm not Mr. Conservative, but, you know, Pamela Anderson, you know, she was married to, was it Tommy Lee at the time?
Yes.
And she was doing that for her husband. And they're supposed to stay there, but it got out, and she was already on Baywatch. She was already the big-breasted blonde and stuff like that. So did it enhance her career? Probably not. It just gave dudes thoughts of her, you know, giving them service.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? Dude, that sex tape made her infamous.
It made her infamous. However, she was already a star. She was already on a show. We're talking about making a career.
No, she wasn't a star. She was on the show, and everybody liked her. When the sex tape came out, she became instant, like, icon. She's a pop icon now. No? What are you talking about?
That's not what we're talking about with... you know, starting a career off of it. Her career didn't start off of that.
Mm-mm.
We're talking, like Paris Hilton, she was known as being the daughter of the man that ran the empire, but then when she did One Night in Paris or whatever, you know, then she stepped out of her father's shadow and became, you know, this figure. She got catapulted into stardom. I mean, I agree. I agree that Pamela Anderson's career got a big boost when that took place. However, she was already in the business. She already was working the Hollywood scene, so to speak. And, you know, it did help her get a couple of movies. But then you think about Kim Kardashian. Nobody really thought about the Kardashians except Bruce Jenner until Ray J, you know, put her on tape and let her demonstrate her skills. You know? And then Superhead gets this idea, well, I've done fucked all these these basketball players and athletes and superstars. Let me write a book about it. Let me videotape. Let me go to Mr. Marcus. I mean, the people in the industry knew who she was, so it made her creditable. One of the things she was doing, and then watching her do what she did, it was rather nice. So I could see how she jumped up into it. But then I remember Russ Parr, DJ for 93.9 in DC. They had her on the show, and his co-host. It wasn't Olivia Fox. It was the other chick that was there. asked her, so what do you think your son's going to deal with, or how do you think your son's going to deal with these things once he, you know, becomes a teenager and people start asking about his mom? You know, how she got her fame off of giving head, being known as Superhead. And, you know, she was like, well, no, I'm his mother, and he's going to love me regardless, and I did what I had to do to take care of my family. I mean, that type of stuff is what some of these women look at. They say, okay, you know what? I don't want to be considered a porn star, but let me go out and do something with a couple of these athletes or whatever. Let me get known.
Wow.
Let me get in. I mean, that's why they call it video hoes and, you know, Buffy the Body. Prime example. She might have been doing all these dudes. She might have been doing these dudes. But because of her
you
assets,
are funny.
Because of her assets, she became famous. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Wow.
All right, Mikal.
You are funny.
Go ahead.
No, I am enjoying listening to him. It's like you get it, but you don't get it. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy. You know, I don't condone what Superhead did or whatever, right? But
Karen Stephan.
Right, but I definitely understand the branding of what she did and how, you know, how I catapulted her and how she's trying to exploit it even more. You know what I'm saying? To project it out some more, but it's not. I don't know. It's funny how, just to listen to the way you put it, because Buffy too. You know, she's got a brand. She got a whole brand. You know, she's doing a whole bunch of other stuff there. But it's the same. But in the industry, right? You've got to do something to get put on. It doesn't matter if you're in. You know what I'm saying? You could be in hacking. You know what I'm saying? Got a show here or doing this or doing that, but something has to take and catapult you. It's something that you do. You know what I'm saying? Normally it's done, you know, by, you know, having a hit or, you know, having a good line in a movie or being a good performer in something. But normally, I mean, nowadays it's really ain't even happening like that. It's not even happening like that. I mean, the internet and viral videos is just taking over.
But, right. Mike, you can look at a person like Vivica Fox, and I agree with you that YouTube and all these other places have given people stardom and different avenues. Social media has done that. I mean, that's how Usher found Justin Bieber, da-da-da-da-da. But if you look at a person that's in the industry, like Zach Galifianakis. You know, we changed it from women going to men. You know, he was just a fat comedian that nobody knew about until he hit the big hit with the Hangover. You know, Bradley was in a couple movies, but he didn't get his big break and stuff like that. But when you look at what people do in order to get that status, you're right. You're right. It used to be the casting couch, like Vivica Fox. Not everybody, but the industry labels her as a casting couch actress. She got in, she did what she had to do to get it, and then she became famous. Whether or not she'll admit to all the things that people accuse her of, you never know. But just like in basketball, I mean, let's not even talk about sports. People say that Lil Wayne did this, Lil Wayne did that to get on, and he made Drake do this, do that to get on. I mean, people are going to say whatever they're going to say just to start some type of media hype, something like that. You know, if you talk about a Pamela Anderson, a Kim Kardashian, you know, Kim Kardashian, as you said, took that sex tape. No, actually, Ray J took the sex tape, took it to Visit, and got paid off of that, and then all of a sudden, he's no longer Brandy's little brother. You know, he was an artist. You know, but he wasn't well known. He was always known as Brandy's little brother.
Okay, but before you go any further than that, you tell me who made out the best in that sex tape?
No
Ray
doubt.
J, Ray J or Kim Kardashian?
Kim. I mean, Ray became a B-list superstar. He became a B-list superstar, whereas Kim...
Well, how can you become a B-list superstar? That doesn't make any sense to me.
The reason why I say that is because Ray J is known in certain circles. He's not known as Ray. He's known as Brandy's little brother. You know, when he goes up, Kim Kardashian is not known as the Kardashian, the daughter of XY Kardashian. You know, she's known as Kim Kardashian, the chick with the big ass, big, you know, lips, and she did Ray J. You know, that's what she's known as. And then she parlayed that. Her and her sisters parlayed that. And the fact that, you know, they come from a very wealthy family. They parlayed that from a very wealthy family into, I'm hearing a lot of static. I don't know if it's my phone or somebody else's, but they parlayed that into a, I guess, a career. Now they have their own shows. They have their own clothing line. They, she's pregnant by Kanye.
Yeah. And that she's a prime example of what I'm saying, that from one tape makes a career.
Exactly.
Makes her family's career, because her family...
Well,
wait a minute. You tell me, you look at the family, other than Bruce Jenner, what has that family
done?
They were wealthy. I'm talking about what have they done. Regardless, if they got money or not, what have they done?
I mean,
period.
You're right. I agree with you. Because you look at Khloe. She was on the first season of X Factor or whatever as a host.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now it's just Mario Lopez, because she couldn't sustain it or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, you look at all these different families and superstars and stuff like that as to what it is they did, it becomes an issue of, well, a sex tape made them. The sex tape's not going to break them. But what do they do with their stardom and their money and that fame once, you know, they get in? You know, you can make the sex tape all day. You can make it all day. But if it don't do nothing, if it don't sell, or if you don't create a different revenue stream for yourself, then you're short. That's why Superhead, she's a flash in the pan. She's a flash in the pan. I mean, that's the bottom line. She was hot for maybe 3 or 4 years while this whole scandal was going on, when she put Kobe out there, she put Shaq out there, then she put Irv Gotti out there, and all these other folks, but that's all she had. She couldn't get an acting deal. You know, she couldn't get, she wrote one book. One book. It was a bestseller. What else has she done? Nothing. She can't parlay what she did into something bigger, like Kim Kardashian did. I mean, it helps that Kim comes from a well-off family with a superstar stepfather. It helps. But at the same time, you got all these women and some dudes that do these things to get on, and they don't know what to do once they get there. I mean, you can relate that to sports.
Well, let me put it this way then, and you may not like it because this is on your show, but I'm going to say it anyway. Sex.
You got 3 weeks. You got 3 weeks, fucker. I mean, guy. You got 3 weeks.
Yeah. See. Okay. See, I'm not the only one that says some a few words. Sex sells, and if you're white female, sex sells even more.
No, I disagree.
What?
I disagree.
You disagree?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to
tell
you why I disagree.
Tell me why. Because
I'm really being entertained by the world according to Vic right about now.
Wow. Go ahead, Victor. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Listen, Kim Kardashian isn't white, first of all. Okay?
She's portrayed as being white, but I understand what you're saying. Go ahead.
She's not portrayed as that. She just lives in that world. I'll tell you this. Sex sells, right. Halle Berry is black. She's mixed or whatever the case may be, but she clings more to her black side than anything. You know, Monsters Ball, because for the longest time, she would not show her tatas, her titties, whatever you want to call them, right?
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't do it. So when Monsters Ball came out, and her and Billy Bob did that scene, oh, We get to see Holly's tatas. Holly was a superstar, but then she became a worldwide figure.
Okay.
Not just in the black community.
Okay. Before you go any further, Victor, now tell me, and we can't know it, but I'm giving you a hypothetical here, and I think Mikal is. I think he knows where I'm going with this. Tell me if Halle Berry would have gotten the same supposedly worldwide acclaim and a vote in the Oscars if Billy Bob was Wesley Snipes.
You're right. She wouldn't because not that many people would have went to go see Monsters Ball. Except those that wanted to see Halle Berry's tatas. Those are the only ones.
Wow!
It's almost, you know what, Vic?
Listening to you right now, it's almost criminal that you have this show. It's almost criminal that you have this show. I mean, seriously, you know, because you really don't have an understanding of like how you know marketing is played out, and really had no clue about the industry and how it works. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, you got the contractual, maybe, you know, the little broadcasting part, everything that's in line, but you got no clue as how they make it to make it. You don't.
So you really don't.
Based off what you said about Halle, I can tell you right now, look, it was not about her tie-ties, because she was showing them joints in that other movie with the other white guy, the Wolverine dude. That's definitely not that wasn't it.
Monster Ball was the first time that she ever showed. Let me
tell you something. Monster Ball was when the acclaim that she got from it was stemming from her having sexual intercourse with a white male.
Yeah,
that
I know. That's what I said.
That is what. No. You said showing her tata.
No,
you know what I'm saying? It ain't had nothing to do with that.
Jerry asked if it was Wesley Snipes, would she got the same thing?
I know.
Hold on.
And I said no.
Wait a minute. I keep trying
to give you a line, but you just jump off the jump every damn time. Look,
right.
I understand about, you know, the Wesley thing. You know, and that is the crux of it. That is the whole crux of it. The story wouldn't even have got shot if it was Wesley casted in that joint. You know, it wouldn't even have got shot. Not at all. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't even made it off the script read. No, it wouldn't have done it. No. But because it was Billy Bob, and because it wasn't even marketed to our community. It wasn't. Because half the community didn't even like the show for a lot of different reasons.
But they went to go see it for Halle.
Listen to me. We did not support that move. That movie was not supported by the African American community. Everybody was just like, really? Really? And I challenge you to go ask. Everybody was just like, really? Okay, she had sex with Billy Bob. What's that all about? But you got to understand how it looked on the other end. You know what I'm saying? You got to look how it was marketed to that community. You know? And that is what made it what it was. And that is what put her on. Because she was already on. We was all in love with her. She had been, for years, she had been the Black Vixen. I mean, she owned it. I mean, she was going neck and neck with J-Lo, but she owned it. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like she wasn't an icon in the black community, but she wasn't getting the money that she wanted to get. She wasn't getting it. And until she did that jump and got her Oscar, which was all criminal anyway. I mean, because looking at that acting in that movie, I just thought it was terrible. Thought it was horrible.
Well, regardless.
I didn't think it warranted an Oscar.
No. That was the year. That was the year that everybody was in an uproar about, you know, a black male and female not getting the lead. They've always won the supporting actor or actress award. They never won the lead actor or actress award. That was
right again, and that just proves my point. It had nothing to do with her acting.
I get it. Absolutely nothing. But the point that I was getting to, because Jerry was talking about, you know, black versus white, or if it was a what a white girl or black guy, whatever the case may be, my contention is this: females have so much power in the industry because men will flock to the movies or flock to a concert, whatever, to see a very sexually enticing woman, even though. That freaking Britney Spears is crazy as hell. But when she gets on stage and does those little nasty things, people look at her. People see her. They don't go there to listen to her sing because she's lip syncing. They're going there to see her act like a little slut. Got it. Janet, when she did the Velvet Rope tour, everybody loved Janet. Everybody, no matter what race you were, right? But when she was on that stage and she tying them dudes up and she like dry humping and shit. It didn't matter. It didn't matter your color. It didn't matter her color. But she was doing it because everybody remembers Lil' Penny turned into adult Janet, who then turned into whatever she is today. You know what I mean? To me, sex sells in the industry no matter what color you are. But it depends on what you do with it that defines your career. Again, you have many women that have gone in movies. Kim Basinger, when she did Basic Instinct, or whatever one it was, when she had the no underwear on.
Criminal.
And she, you know, crossed her legs or whatever, and everybody got to see her hairs or her.
That's Sharon Stone.
You mean Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone. Yeah, like I said, this is criminal.
This is just criminal, man.
The point is, people will go and see a female do or behave a certain way. Got it. But once that female has finished that role, whether she's afforded different opportunities or whether she creates opportunities is what matters in her career.
Let me ask you this, Victor.
Sure.
You take two females, one African-American mm-hmm. and one white, in a sexy role. Whatever sexy role it is, who's going to get the most walk-ins to watch that movie?
I mean, you got to think about the movie. I mean, you could take...
No.
I am tired of listening to this.
Wow.
Dude, I am serious. You are making me sick to my stomach.
Wow.
Seriously, you have no idea of how to market. You really don't. You don't.
Yes,
you have no clue. No clue.
Wild things. Neve Campbell did Wild Things with Kevin Bacon, right? Okay.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
That movie, and I believe her and a few other females in there, and you know, it turned out it was a marketed movie to the teenagers to 24 year old area, and it was about sex and violence and stuff like that. So when you're marketing to that demographic, what sells in that area? Violence and sex. So people will go see it. Neve Campbell was attractive, and I mean, I don't know what she looks like today, but she was attractive at that time. She was one of the few Caucasian women that had full lips, and she had the look of a black person, right?
No.
She had features.
She had features. You know what, Victor? You know
don't
what,
even
Victor?
Go there.
Victor, in your scenario about Wild Things, right, I want you to think about this. Right, in your scenario, Wild Things, you said there's a certain demographic that they went after. which is a large demographic, and also happens to be which happens to be the one that's carrying all of the different entertainment industry right now. Anyway,
correct.
You know,
correct.
That demographic has not changed, right?
I agree.
White, 18 to 30. That is the core demographic. That demographic is bigger than any other that demographic is bigger and pays out more than any other demographic anywhere.
No.
Right?
Take your wild things movie,
right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And bring it here to DC and market it here. See what happens. Matter of fact, go to Iverson Mall with the junk. You're going to have Matt Damon, Nev Campbell, and all them showing up for a signing right there. Then tell me how many people going to come and watch that joint.
Okay. Let's break it down because you're incorrect on your first stat. Because 18 to 24 or 30-year-old males is not the highest demographic. Because
I didn't say males. I didn't say males, fool.
Okay. Well,
Okay,
well, whatever. That is incorrect because it's G-rated movies that draw the most money. Let's get that straight. R and PG 13.
No, you said G-rated movies. Hold on. See, you on movies. See, this you're talking about movies. I said core demographic that
exactly.
You market to. 18
yes,
to 30 run the country.
Victor, you made an example of a movie called Wild Things, which is rated R.
Yeah, but I was talking about the female. I wasn't talking about the movie. But now, since we're talking about the movies, we can talk about the demographic.
No, you're talking about movies. I'm talking about marketing.
We'll take Wild Things and we'll take it off some more. One, you're right. It's not going to sell there. Why? Because you have a totally different demographic of folks. Because they don't have that. Because they don't think of... Or that area, Iverson Mall area.
Exactly.
But you're not going to...
Come on, talk your way through it.
Just be quiet. You're not going to put a movie like, let's use some current. What's a movie out now that doesn't have too many ethnic people in it?
Silver Linings?
I guess I don't know what it is.
Identity Theft?
No. Oh, okay, I'll tell you what. Identity Theft could sell there. You wouldn't have a signing there, but it could make money there. Identity Theft
it could make money here, right? But you have to market it to the correct demographics in order for it to make money, which would be predicated upon the story, the actors, the plot, and everything.
Not really, because you sit in any movie theater. Right? They're gonna let's use the Identity Theft. Right? You got Morris Chestnut in it. You got Kevin Bacon. Well, not Kevin Bacon. Jason Bateman and the big girl in it. Right? So you got Morris Chestnut, who's in a supporting role, a very limited role, going on urban radio shows, talking about the movie to generate interest. So that gets the urban folks to go see it, right? Okay, then you got Jason
because you have him in the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, yeah,
correct.
Exactly.
However.
Exactly.
Can I get it out, Clem?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you have him market to that group because people identify with him. Got it. That's not the point. The point is that movie itself might not do as well at Iverson Mall than it would in City Place, because Iverson Mall, you're predominantly urban or ethnic.
Right.
Makeup.
Talk yourself
it's
through
Hispanic.
It. Keep talking.
It's Hispanic.
You're doing good. Keep going. Just shut up.
Therapist. Dr. Phil wrong. Be quiet. So you got the Hispanic and the black culture at Iverson Mall. In City Place, you got more than just black, Hispanic. You got white, you got Filipino, you got all these different folks that will go see that movie. Not because it's just Morris Chestnut or Old Boy in it, but because it's a movie of comedy. You got to think about it, these people that make these movies. They say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna make a movie that fits my community. Let's use Ice Cube. So I'm gonna make Boys in the Hood. Whatever. I know he didn't do it, but Friday.
He did Friday.
He did Friday.
Barbershop.
So, just listen. So Ice Cube makes Friday, right? Makes money off of that. But then he turns around and makes PG movies such as Are We There Yet? That gets him more acclaim, more money, and more opportunities because it's marketed to the black community, but it's also a movie that any other race can identify with and goes to. That's the difference that I'm trying to get here. That if you're going to have a black actress or a black male actor or whatever the case may be, if you're going
now we have an epiphany of crossover.
This goes back to Jerry's question, because if the individual is identified with that culture only, then they're not going to become worldwide. That's what I'm trying to get to.
How do they get there, Victor?
They just don't market. You're falling back a little bit. Whatever. Their movies don't just identify with one community. And that's my point. That if you take a black or white female, female and they're in a movie, see, you don't even want to hear it. You don't even hear it because they don't agree with you.
No, I'm listening to you, but it's like you almost there, and it's like you jump to the top, and then you just like falling back.
Oh my God, dude, you can't sit here and blame everything on the fact that a black actress won't get this because is that important?
Hold on. I am offended that you would think that I would think be so limited in my thinking that way, sir. That's not what I'm saying. That's what your opinion of what I'm saying, because you can't even see what the hell I'm talking to you about. I'm trying to find out where it is you're having a problem with this, and I'm trying to bring you along and listen to you talk as you go. Yeah, you do.
My only issue, if I'm going to have an issue, is that you have that whole stereotype, not you per se, but you have the whole stereotype of this actor or actress never would have made it if they didn't do X, Y, Z, okay? I use Ice Cube.
No. That's not a stereotype. That's a fact. There are certain things that you have to do. You know what I'm saying? In order to get crossover, you're not gonna just get it by saying, I don't fall under the stereotype. No, it don't work like that, Vic.
You have to take chances and step out there and do something different.
Yeah, you have to take chances like getting naked and having sex with a white male, or you can forever in your career do nothing but good roles. Great, good roles, heroic roles, you know, such as Malcolm X, Hurricane, and don't even get recognized for that. But soon, as you portray yourself as a dirty cop, dirty cop, that's when you get it. That's when you get the Oscar.
Well, don't tell me it's a stereotype. No, I agree with you. But here's the deal. Because Tony Curtis had the same issue. Because Jamie Lee Curtis was mad when he died, and all these people said he was this great actor, da 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 da. And I agree with you 110%. Because Denzel Washington, he was typecast. Most actors and actresses get typecast into certain roles that they can be this great lawyer, this great activist, this great individual, da 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 da. And then when they step out and do like a Training Day, it shows their range of acting. So then they say, oh, you know what? If there's an issue right now in the black community that they're not getting awarded the Grammy or the Oscar or whatever the case may be, so you know what? This is a different role that Denzel's taking. He's not the
who,
good guy.
But wait. Stop right there. Who recognized the range? Because we recognized the range a long time ago. Anytime you you play a doctor on St. Elsewhere, and then you come and play Hurricane, and then you turn around and play Malcolm X, and then you come back and do that character that he did in Mo' Better Blues. We saw the range. We saw it. Right?
But until it
was recognized on a pop, mainstream, mass level, that is when it changed. And that is my point to you. You can sit up here and negate it, call it a stereotype or whatever. I'm going to tell you, bro, it's very real. Very real.
I'll do you one better, because we went off women, we went to different things. I'm going to take it to another area. And this is really real, because it's a stupid mindset that a lot of artists, that they want to call themselves artists, have. Here's the issue. Hip-hop. Whatever you want to call it. You have folks in the industry that began in the 80s, 70s, whatever the case may be, came up, changed with the industry because they saw that the music was changing, right? And they get lambasted because they're not keeping it real, because they decide to cross over and become an enterprise, or like Jay-Z says, he's a business man. You know, these people, not Jay-Z, because Jay-Z still has street cred or whatever the case may be, but you have these people that look at these artists and say, you know what, you ain't keeping it real. You know, you crossed over. You did this. You want to be an actor? Nah, you got to be real to the game. But these are the same people that are struggling to stay relevant in the music industry because they kept it real and kept it to the street. They didn't decide to venture out and do a crossover song like Nelly did in the country genre. Some of these cats, they say, okay, you know what? I don't want to be an actor because that's not being a real artist. I mean, how can a person grow if they don't try something different? How can somebody get more mass appeal, like the song goes, mass appeal, right?
Well,
how can they get more mass appeal if they don't venture out from that comfort zone or stick to what they only know? You can't.
I thought it was some help for you a few seconds ago, and you just like went totally back, way back to where you were earlier, and
oh,
you just got me over here shaking my head. You know,
right,
and I've been in the music industry for quite a long time. You know what I'm saying? I produce tracks. I produce my own tracks. I've done a lot of different things, and I know exactly what you're talking about, but none of that exists anymore. It don't exist no more.
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah,
it really don't. It really don't. All that keeping it real stuff. Nah, it don't really exist anymore. It's more or less now. The more raunchy, the more raw you are, the more out there you are with it, the better you are. You can look at that dude, the little youngin. What's his damn name? He looked like Martin. What is his name? Oh man,
I can't
remember his name.
I want to say something real quick while you think about that. There's an article, not an article, on Facebook. One, I guess, musician had posted back in the early 80s when all these industries decided to go, not industries, but all these record labels decided to go gangster rap, how there was this secret meeting, and it was based upon getting people put in jail and stuff like that. And I read it, and I was like, you know, it makes sense. I'm not sure how truthful it is, but it does make sense because that's what happened. But you bring up the change in the music industry. It's not about, you know, killing no more. It's not about the bling bling or whatever. It's about how sexy or how slutty you can be in your lyrics and in your videos, because you're going to drive for that 18, 30-year-old male, whether it's white, black, whatever. It's just male.
It's not just male.
Not anymore.
If you know anything about the industry and how the money is made, sir, it is not through the African American community.
Right.
It's made by the African American community. You know, the product is exploited by the African American community, but the money isn't made there. The money has always been made between, again, the core demographic, 18 to 30, white, young people. Because they have the disposable income to pay for that stuff. And that is why you have these artists out here, such as a Lil Wayne, such as Wiz Khalifa and all them other, I'm trying to think of that dude's name. He got a crazy name, but he looked like damn Jerome when I see him. I can't think of him. But this is the reason why you have these artists. You know what I'm saying? Because that is who they're marketed to, and that is who's buying their product. That is who's buying 50's album. That's who's buying Jay-Z's album. You know what I'm saying? We're not buying it. We've been stopped buying CDs and stuff and paying for download. Man, we don't do that. Where we do that at?
Again.
Why would I do that when I can go to the barbershop right now and get me 10 CDs for $5?
Right.
What am I do that for? You know, I don't care who coming out.
But the bottom line is this. Because I'm trying to bring it back to the topic that Jay was talking about. We can sit here and say the black community does this or the white community does this or that. The bottom line is individuals need to step out.
No.
I believe an individual needs to step out of their comfort zone in order to understand a little bit better about what's going on. I'm not saying don't be true to it, to what you know and who you are, but if all you know, I'm just going to use as an example, if all you know is D.C., if that's all you know, when you go out to Nebraska or whatever the case may be, and you come across some folks and they look at you a little funny, but you take offense to it because all you know is that, oh, all these people out here, they hicks, all they want to do is string up black dude, but you don't get to know them. And you don't get to at least walk in their shoes for a little bit. You're never going to understand them because you're always going to have that one mindset that somebody gave you because this is the way they were brought up. I mean,
my point to you is that people like yourself, you know what I'm saying, need to understand, you know, what the word demographics mean and how to market to them. You know what I'm saying? You can have a product that crosses demographics, but understand why it's going to cross the demographics. You know what I'm saying? And it's no problem. It's no problem. You know, it's no problem if you're going to market to a mass white demographic. It's no problem. It's just that's what you're marketing to. It's no problem if you're going to market to a mass black population. It's no problem. You know what I'm saying? It's all in the demographics.
And that's getting back to my point.
Right.
If Halle Berry was in a movie with an African American male, didn't make a difference whether Wesley Snipes at all. Just an African American male. For the most part, it would be labeled a black movie and wouldn't get the audience. It wouldn't get the audience it got.
Exactly.
That's the point
it
I'm
won't
making.
Cross over.
Well,
exactly.
You know what? You make a good point there, and that's why. I think like Tyler Perry, let's just use him for example. He just put out this movie Temptation, right? Prior to that, he was putting out Madea, then he put out Alex Cross, and he put out a couple other movies that were different than what people know him for. You know, because all of his movies have some type of spiritual or family-based undertone.
Because he's marketing to his core demographic,
correct.
Which is
right.
The African-American,
correct.
African-American
women. Okay, I got that. But when he took the chance with Alex Cross, you know, the black community really didn't support it too much, but the white community did. And it was like, okay,
right,
well, you know.
Right, because no, I'm going to tell you what's happening. Let me stop you. What's happening Tyler is trying to cross over some more.
Absolutely.
He's trying to cross over some more. And if you know anything about what's going on with Tyler right now, and, you know, Being in the industry, you should know that he has teamed up with Oprah, you know, to help Oprah because Oprah is struggling with that own network. She's doing good with it, but she's struggling. Now she's teaming up with Tyler. And Tyler and Tyler is going to use her in order to cross over some more. He definitely needs it.
Because Oprah
needs it. Because he's not getting that mass white dollar. So which means translation, he ain't getting that good money yet. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
he getting good money from the black community, and we've supported him wholeheartedly. But now, you know, it's a lot of dissension in his marketing and stuff like that. A lot of African American males are being turned off about a lot of his movies now. So he's got to branch up. He's got to branch up. You know what I'm saying? He's
got
to go up.
I got that. And my point with bringing up Tyler Perry is that because he's doing different things, he's getting more exposure to mainstream media. And,
No. I just told you why he has to. Hold on. You're saying that he's doing it, and because he's doing it, he's getting more exposure. And I'm telling you, no. He's doing it because he has to do it in order to grow some more. You know what I'm saying?
Dude,
because he is topped out in the black community, for real.
I got that, and that's what I was saying. That when he did Alex Cross, he wasn't supported that well in the black community, and that's what I said. He was supported heavily in the white community, where he got a little bit more acclaim. Then he did this Temptation flick, which isn't getting good reviews because they don't like Kim Kardashian, but it's barely holding on because of the quality of movies that were released at the same time as it. Now, if it were released, let's say, at the exact same time as some of the year's bestsellers, G.I. Joe, the new Wolverine movie is coming out, the new Iron Man movie is coming out, it would tank. So the marketing is, we're going to release a flick, just like what they did with G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe was scheduled to come out last year. They saw what happened with Battleship and said, you know what, Battleship got terrible money back. They didn't even make their money back that it cost to shoot the film. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump in, and we're going to go ahead and put it in 3D and release it in the spring of next year. And if you look right now, there aren't too many good flicks out. It's not so many good flicks out, but Dwayne Johnson, a black Samoan, who has whatever he touches turns to gold now, he's got five movies coming out this year. Five movies this year alone. Plus he has the power and backing of the WWE to help push anything he does. Okay? Five movies. He's the flavor of the month, so to speak. I mean,
he is not the flavor of the month. The dude got crossover. He's
yes.
been had it.
Dude,
what are you
listen,
talking about?
This is what I'm trying to tell you.
Listen, God.
You'll get it. But if you don't listen, you're not going
to get it. No, I can't listen to you because you ain't making no sense.
I'm not making. Okay. Let me break it down.
No, you're not.
He was in the WWE. Right, just like Brock Lesnar.
I don't need you to break down him. I don't.
Don't listen then. Then be quiet. Don't listen because I'm trying to explain my point. You got Brock Lesnar and Dwayne Johnson, both of them are huge stars in sports entertainment. Huge stars in sports entertainment. But Brock Lesnar didn't get that world-renowned acclaim until he went to the UFC because they were like, can a fake fighter fight for real? So Brock Lesnar went to UFC, right? He came in with a big splash. He got tapped out. They were like, well, he's just a fake athlete. Then he goes around and he wins the daggone title, beats some people up. Then he gets beat up a little bit more and he goes back to wrestling. But he's now got that mass appeal outside of the WWE universe, which is a big universe, by the way. But he's got that mass appeal because he was like, oh, he went to UFC and fought for real, became the world heavyweight champion. And then he came back to something that he knew, because that's his base. Rock. Rock goes into WWE off of his grandfather's name, does pretty well, is a very good speaker as far as cutting promos and whatnot, gets his chance to be in a feature film by WWE. He does a very good job. He gets a supporting role in in The Mummy, which launched his other Scorpion King and then all that. So he shows he has range. Okay? So the WWE Universe supports his movies, but he still don't get put on. So then he does this little gaze role in Get Shorty. Didn't get too much love from anybody on that. Then he comes back to the WWE for a minute, drops in, leaves again, shoots some more movies. Now, when he did Fast Five, and then he did Journey to the Center of the Earth, whatever it's called, and a couple other flicks where he's the feature, more and more people say, you know what, he's the new action hero. He's the new action star. He's the guy that has that pretty smile. Women love him, black, white, whatever, all of them love him. Plus, he still has the support of the WWE Universe. So he comes back to the WWE, shoots all these different flicks, because he did a movie with Billy Bob Thornton, I forgot the name of it, and some other folks. It was a very good movie, but it didn't get a lot of support at the box office. But now, all these other flicks he's doing, as of late, are just tearing it up at the box office, because, as you said, he has appeal, but it's not just that appeal he had from the WWE. It's the fact that he built up his resume in the movie industry where people are like,
built
well, you
up
know,
his resume.
He can make us money. He can make us money. Just his
ladies and gentlemen, what you've just heard is a product of many years of watching WWF. This is what you're hearing.
What is that gonna do? What is that? That is marketing. The dude has a power base in wrestling that will never ever say, you know what, you suck. He can always go back to wrestling. But because of the different roles he took and the different things he did, even though he's an action guy, some people saw his range. Now, I'm not saying The Rock is a damn good actor, but in the rundown with him and old boy from American Pie, he did good. And then when he did Walking Tall, that showed, okay, he doesn't have to be just a brute. He can do some action, but he can also act a little bit. I mean, Walking Tall was the one that actually set him up to get other movies, other roles outside of action flicks, you know, but that has nothing to do with years of watching wrestling. That says that the guy is appealing within his area and outside of his area, and he can go to anyone and still be a phenomenon and make money. That's all I'm saying. And as it relates to the other topics we were talking about, we started out talking about women making sex tapes.
All of this, yeah, you know what? It all relates and it all makes sense to you. Yeah, got it. I got it. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Jerry, how much time do you got left?
No time, because I'm about to get out of here. I just want to give you guys an opportunity to say your last piece. And then we can close this show out. I start with Mikal. Well, no, I'll start with Victor first and then Mikal, and then I'll say my piece and we'll get out of here.
27th of April is coming. That, I guess, the end of the month. Beginning of May, you'll hear the sweet tones of FSP opening up the show.
Trying to get these other folks, whatever.
The ratings will go back up. But trying to get some folks that are very controversial and very, very conservative to jump on board and take one of the days and let it be heard, because Mac is the one conservative we've got, and I want to add a little more flavor.
He didn't sound conservative last night. That Bama was talking a whole bunch of socialism last night.
Yes, he was. Great.
Really?
Yes, he was.
Oh yeah, he was. He sure was.
Damn, you gotta listen to the show. We got into a pretty good conversation. I enjoyed that conversation we got to. So,
he did it, Mitt Romney?
Nah, he didn't know he was doing it. But I probably showed him, and then when I pointed it out to him, he started changing up. He got quiet.
Yeah.
Post it on my Facebook page. Post it on everywhere. Then.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that. No problem.
But
yeah. It was a very good conversation we got. He opened the can of worms up, and we all jumped in it. So.
Did you bring up that thread that I told you to bring up?
No, we got into coming out as being gay and
Brian,
thinking like
Dave Gill and all his gay friends.
Excuse me?
I am a Dave Gill and all his gay friends.
No, we Magic Johnson's son coming out also. So
we got into college coming out, playing and all that kind of carrying on and
right.
You know, playing as a college player, and he,
right.
You know, basically broke down how he thought that the kids should get paid, and
mm-hmm.
I promptly pointed out to him that sounds like socialism.
Mm-hmm. He didn't want to hear that.
He did not want to hear that.
Uh oh.
Yeah. I'll post it, and then you can listen to the whole show, and go from there.
I appreciate everything. I'm gonna whoop your ass some more in baseball, and I know my killer bees are killing me, but I'm still winning this week, so I'm happy about it. I'm all about to get ready for the NFL draft.
Okay. What about you, then, Mr. McCow?
Oh, you owe me an article, Jerry. You owe me an article on boxing. I'm just gonna put it out there.
What about you, Mr. McCow? Yeah, I hear you. What about Mr. McCow?
You know, check me out. Grown Soul and Real Talk. Facebook.com/grownsoul. You can also check out our website. It's not fully functional right now, but it is up. It's grownsoul.com. You want to come back periodically because we got a big summer coming. We're gonna have a relationship poetry slam, $1,500 going to the and we want to secure the Howard Theater, but I'm not liking the figures that they're talking about, but it's either going to be the Howard or the Hyatt. I don't know which one. But check us out. You know, we always had a good conversation. We always keeping it grown. And, you know, I'm going to be here to cut up my cousin, you know.
Whatever.
Mr. Marketer.
I thought you were going to say Mr. Marcus.
I can do that too. I can use a little superhead now and then.
Yeah, okay,
Jerry.
Okay.
I need my hundred, Jerry. I'm broke out here, Jerry.
I'll just get in touch with Azure and see how she feels about that.
Hey. Keep her name out of this. Keep her out of this. When am I getting my $100? Because the brother has been dying over here. When am I getting my $100? That's all I'm asking.
With that being said, I want to thank Victor. Joining me along with his cousin Macau. Tune in next week, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be here again. I know I'll be here. More than likely, Macau. We don't know exactly if Victor will. He's doing his thing.
Hopefully, he won't.
He's doing his thing.
Jerry pays me. If Jerry pays me $100, I won't come back until the middle of May.
Oh boy. Okay. The middle of May. No, really.
Yeah.
A month.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. Okay.
And then I'll be gone in June.
Pay him the $100 so we can make this these shows the highest rated shows ever to be on this marketed network, this well marketed network.
Tune in tomorrow. What I wanted to cover today, I definitely will cover tomorrow. Talking about coming out and who's coming out and the thoughts about people coming out. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Master Plan. And if you don't like either one of those shows, Thursday's your show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, be the FSP crew show. I'll be the host along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. And also on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, be the No Chaser show. Straight talk, absolutely unadulterated talk. We talk about everything and anything, and you better bring, if you want to talk, you better bring it because we will. Mac Williams, the host. I'll be the co-host. With all that being said, like I said, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you guys for joining me today. And enjoy the weekend. and we're out.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy.